All right, if you take your Bibles now and turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. The apostle, having encouraged the believers now to continue in the faith, after giving them such reasons for comfort and assurance as the eternal, immutable promise of God and the hope of Jesus Christ, our refuge and anchor for our souls, he comes in chapter 7 now back again to his initial point concerning the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember back in chapter 5, he ends this with, in verse 10, he ends with this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, being a high priest, that he was called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And now in chapter 7, he deals with this at great length concerning the priesthood of Christ after this order of Melchizedek. And I've tried several ways in my study at looking at this particular passage, but I want to take verse 17 of chapter 7 as my text. Chapter 7 and verse 17, for he testifieth. God testifieth of Christ. He says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this is not the first time that the apostle had mentioned this priesthood of Christ. In chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, he saith in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And in verse 10, we just are called a priest for after the order of Melchizedek. And in chapter 6 and verse 20 again, we read, whither the forerunner is entered in, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So you get the point. He is trying to, he is arguing the point of Christ's priesthood. Priesthood of Jesus Christ. As we've studied, we can realize and identify that the priesthood of Christ is a very deep and vast subject. But there is none more vital or necessary for us, for our comfort and for our encouragement and for sinners. There's nothing more vital and necessary for the salvation of sinners than the ground and foundation for the comfort of the saints as the priesthood of Christ. This subject is vital. This is why the apostle is spending so much of his time concerning this subject. Now, this is because God has ordained the institution of the priesthood as the only means by which sinners are acceptable to God. This institution of the priesthood is the only means by which sinners are able to worship and approach unto God. It's clear throughout the Scriptures that no man is saved. No man is saved apart from having a priest and a sacrifice. No man is saved apart from that. No man can approach unto God without an acceptable, an ordained priest and an acceptable sacrifice. Now, the origin of the priesthood is laid out in the eternal purpose and mind of God. Remember our text. Thou art a priest, how long? Forever. The priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is forever. It is an eternal priesthood. Therefore, this institution of the priest is something in the mind and purpose of God from eternity. And yet in Scripture, as we go along in Scripture, God lays out in great detail. He sets forth in the Levitical priesthood this matter of offering a sacrifice. But this priesthood of the law was only a type and a picture. All of the priests in the Old Testament were meant for this to be a type and a picture of this priest. This priest that God ordained, which God testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And of his offering, it is said in Revelation 13 that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yet now this origin of the institution of the priesthood, though eternal in the purpose of God and made clearer by the Old Testament law, the Levitical law, God gives us this priesthood even from the beginning. This concept of a priest and a sacrifice was even in the Garden of Eden. As soon as Adam fell, being dead in his sins, separated from God, being depraved in his nature, he could not and would not come to God. What does the Scripture say concerning him when he heard the voice of God? It said Adam hid himself. Hid himself. And this is what we all do by nature. Adam is truly our father. By nature, when we hear the voice of God, when the Scripture is preached, what do men do? They run. They run. They scatter. They don't want to hear it. By nature, they are depraved. And yet, who seeks who? Who sought who? God sought Adam. God said, Adam, where art thou? Not for information, but God asked in meekness and great compassion and condescension. He came to Adam. Why? Because God had a people. Because God had from eternity purposed to save some. Because God had purposed that Jesus Christ should be a priest forever. That's why he sought Adam. God came to Adam in grace, exposed his sin, but in great mercy gave him a promise. What was the promise? What was the promise? The seed of the woman. A man. That's what he was saying. A man. A man, a seed of the woman shall do what? Crush the head of the serpent. This pointed to one who was coming, the Lord Jesus in his humanity, God's ordained priest forever. And what was his work? To crush the head of the serpent. That was the promised work of the high priest. The promised work of this high priest was that he was to destroy the works of the devil. Sin, death, hell. He should conquer them, crush them. He should redeem his people from their sins. And thus by his work, he should bring salvation to all that he represents. But how should he do this? How should the seed of the woman crush the head of the serpent? How should the priest ordained forever after the order of Melchizedek, how should he accomplish the work? He shall bruise his heel. By the crucifixion of Christ, by the suffering of Christ, he should accomplish this. Seeing his people are incapable of meriting or obtaining righteousness of their own, God says of us, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So then behold the mystery of God's grace, that this priest ordained forever was to come and crush the serpent's head by this one means of his heel being bruised. This points us to the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. This points us to the offering that He must make for the sins of His people. Now the Lord then Himself condescends to offer the first sacrifice right after He had offered the promise of a priest. He gave the work of the priest, and He gave the means by which the priest should accomplish his work. And then what did God do? God gave them an example. He gave them a picture by killing the animals Himself. The Scripture says that He clothed them with the skins of those animals. You see, in order to take their skins, He had to kill them. They must have died. And so then the Lord gives us a picture of what Christ was to do by His offering. Cover our nakedness. You see the work of the priest ordained forever by God. He was to come to cover our nakedness. Thus the Lord by this establish how sinners are saved. By that one instance, the first message that He preached, He established forever how sinners are saved. How? Through the offering of a priest. Not just any priest. The one He had ordained forever to be a priest. See, sacrifices are necessary and essential for the priesthood. What good is a priest if he doesn't have a sacrifice? And what good is a sacrifice if you don't have a priest to offer it? They're both necessary. You can't have one without the other. The apostle sets it forth in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 3. He sets this precedent forth. Chapter 8 and verse 3, he said, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man," talking about Jesus Christ, "it is of necessity that this man have somewhat to offer." You see, this is the only way to God. The only acceptable way of worshiping God is through a sacrifice, and thus being purposed by God and established by God, this divine appointment of the necessity of a priest and sacrifice was passed on from Adam to the next generation. And as you can see, I'm going to just show you one more, but in Cain and Abel, these two children, the first two children that we have recorded of Adam and Eve, both of them knew they needed a sacrifice. Did you know that? Because they both offered one. They both understood they needed a sacrifice, and both of them seeking to worship God and be accepted of God did offer a sacrifice. They both of them did. You see the principles established. God, by divine right, established the principle that He purposed in eternity. Thou art forever Christ. a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He established this even from the beginning. Now, Cain, being a picture of all men by nature, he offered a sacrifice. And what was his sacrifice? His sacrifice was the fruit of his own hands. The work of his own hands. He offered the best fruit that he could produce. He offered the best that he had. The works of his hands from a cursed earth. He offered the sacrifice of from a cursed earth. He offered, listen, a bloodless sacrifice. A bloodless sacrifice. What do men today offer to God who desire to be accepted by their works? They're offering a bloodless sacrifice. And we know this, that Cain and his sacrifice were not accepted. They were rejected. But Abel, the Scripture says, by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel believed the message. He heard the message from his parents that they received from God. And he believed the message by faith, and thus he offered what? A blood sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice that God had instituted, which sacrifice was a picture of this priest who was to come and offer himself. And what happened to Abel? He was accepted. His sacrifice first, I like this, his sacrifice first was accepted. Then Abel was accepted. Without that sacrifice, he could not be accepted. And listen, you and I cannot be accepted if we don't have a sacrifice. Therefore, O man, behold your need of both a priest and a sacrifice. To be made acceptable before God, you need a priest. Not one ordained by men, but rather a priest ordained of God forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is that priest. And the only acceptable sacrifice is that sacrifice that that priest offered, which was the sacrifice of himself to God. All of those who will offer their will be their own priest and offer their own sacrifices have gone the way of Cain and will not be accepted. But all those who seek to come by God by those man-made priests who offer bloodless sacrifices, whose works are just as corrupt as the ones they offer him for, they will not be accepted, but rather denied and rejected of God. Therefore, behold that Jesus is the only ordained priest of God forever. And the only sacrifice for sin is that which he offered upon that tree 2,000 years ago. There is no other offering. You see how limited this is? There is no other offering you can offer. There is no offering that God will accept or mix with that offering. It's it. There is no other offering but his. Now, according to the Scriptures, we know this, that God did ordain earthly priests according both by family and law. You remember before the law, there was a priest given to every family. It was the father of the family. He was the one that offered the sacrifices. Noah offered sacrifices for his family. He was the priest of his family. Abraham offered sacrifices for his family. Job offered sacrifices for his family. So at that time, before the Levitical law, it was established that the head of the house was the priest. But by the time the Levitical law comes around, that changes. Now then, it is only the tribe of Levi that is capable of doing the priestly work, and only the sons of Aaron could be high priests. So now then, it becomes limited to only those men. And these men did offer sacrifices according to God's prescribed example, and later according to His written law given to Moses. But we are sure of this, that all of these men and all of their sacrifices never removed one sin. Consider the amount of blood that had been shed from Abel to Zechariah. You couldn't measure. The flood in Houston would be not enough. The blood would be infinitely more than that. But I tell you, none of those took away one sin. But only were to picture the priesthood and the offering that Jesus Christ was to come and offer. The one God ordained forever to be a priest. And we're not left to our own faculties to figure this out. God did not leave us to guess that was true. I didn't guess that they weren't effectual. I didn't guess that. God told us that in His Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The apostle says concerning blood, he says, and almost all things were purged. All things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. You got that? Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission of sin ever instituted by God without the shedding of blood. It's necessary. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now appeared before God in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. There it is. All those things were a pattern. They were a picture of this great and glorious thing that God had purposed, that Christ should offer himself, not like them. They offered their sacrifices year after year after year, which showed us what? They weren't enough. They never put away sin. If they put away sin, they would have ceased to need to be offered. But because they were perpetual, they were only a pattern of this one event that was to come. The death of Jesus Christ, the offering of Himself. How many times did Christ offer Himself? Once. Once. Once for all. Oh, see it? Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Cling to the cross and the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. See, these things were a pattern. And in verse chapter 10 and verse 12, the apostle says this, but after this man, those priests, they daily ministered, daily work. You know what piece of furniture was never in that old tabernacle? You're sitting on it. A chair. There was no chair in that place. Why? Because their work was never finished. But this man, after this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Behold then the Lord Jesus Christ, and see that he was the priest ordained of God from eternity. He alone was foreordained, foreshadowed, and pictured by those priests and by their offering, but now has this great high priest come, the seed of the woman, a priest taken from among men to offer gifts and sacrifices and things pertaining to God, which offering he freely gave to satisfy the justice of God forever. You who are his people, you are the elect church of God. Consider our plague. Consider your ruin. And yet God before devised a plan to save us. A plan that is called the Council of Peace, the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The Father having purposed the Son to be the priest forever, to offer the only acceptable sacrifice, which the Son agreed, and the Spirit agreed to apply this to the elect. Behold the glory and grace of God to make Christ the only mediator and surety of the covenant. Consider the great wisdom of God in doing this. That God laid all the responsibility of our salvation on Him. Now, is that not wise? Is that not wisdom? Man's wisdom is, lay it on me. I can do it. God's wisdom is, no, you can't. You're ruined. You could not. And the wisdom of God, he said, I know, I'll put it on my Son. He'll do it. And the Son said, I'll do it. And the Spirit said, I'll apply it. He is the only mediator and surety of our covenant. On him alone rests all the weight of God's glory and the salvation of his church. The Lord Jesus Christ, then to be priest, undertook to be our head, our advocate, our mediator, our redeemer, and surety. You remember what the first time that word surety is used in Scripture? It was in Genesis 44, I think 43, when Judah told Jacob, I'll be a surety for the lad. If I bring him not again, let me bear the blame. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our surety. And he said to the Father, I will be a priest forever. I will offer the acceptable sacrifice for them. And if I bring them not again to thee, let me bear the blame. All the responsibility weighs on him. And go back to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Paul says of him, this is what he says of our high priest, ordained forever after the order of Melchizedek. He says this of him in verse 25 of chapter 7. He says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. See, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. To make intercession. You You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, having accomplished the work of our salvation by offering Himself, He has another work which is part of His priesthood. It is called the intercessory work. The intercessory work. He liveth forever to make intercession. The continual work of our priest forever is to intercede on the behalf of His people. Now the reasonable question would be, well, if Christ has already perfected, if He's already offered the sacrifice, and all sin has been put away by the sacrifice of Himself, why then must He need to intercede for us? Don't let reason get the best of you. He should intercede because God said He would. I think that's the best answer for us. Set it aside. Now God, but let us consider this anyway. After Christ offered Himself, God was pleased. Now He comes by His Spirit to quicken us and give us life and faith to apply the blood to our hearts. Are then we free from sinning? Are you, when you're saved, were you free from sinning? Are you done? Have you finished sinning? You're all better now. There's no need for an intercessor. No, we still have this flesh and this old man that is not changed. That which is born of flesh is flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Therefore, we are still prone to any sin. Even though we are made with, given the holy nature, made partakers of the divine nature, created after God in true holiness, for His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, yet we must confess that we still live in this depraved body of sin. And because of this two natures, then is there a warfare within us. Is this warfare not your constant experience? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do what you would. What would your spirit do? It would soar to heaven. It would bow to Christ. It would serve Christ. It would love Christ with all of your being. And yet, because of the flesh, it cannot. So prone to sin and fighting against this flesh, against wicked thoughts that creep into our mind without permission. We who believe on Christ are so full of unbelief. Our love for Christ is so low. And so often these things, we do things that offend Him. Therefore, John says to us, little children, sin not. You didn't have any sin. Why would He ask you? Why would He tell you not to sin? Sin not. Flee fornication. Be not slothful in the things of God. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And serve not sin. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Yet knowing our nature, that loathsome nature in us, John says this, but when you sin, here's your comfort. We have an advocate with the Father. Do you see now your need of intercession? Because you still have sinned, we must seek mercy, forgiveness, pardon, daily. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So then, let us confess our sins. Why? Because our priest is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful Now then the question comes, how long will He intercede for us? How long? There are times when God does, because of our sin, withdraw His presence from us. He can and does draw His hand of protection and allow the powers of hell to assault our soul. It's then we ask, will You cast us off forever? And His answer is always the same. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Why? You have an advocate. Even Jesus Christ, your faithful high priest, who intercedes for you daily. And I love this picture. Over Numbers chapter 16, the Israel sinned against God again, defying Moses and Aaron, said, who are they? Who are you? We're going to kill you and take your position as priest. And God said to Moses and Aaron, stand back and I'll kill every one of them. And Moses said, go quickly. Grab a fire, a coal from the altar and light incense and bring it. And Aaron ran and he grabbed that coal and that incense, and God had already started to kill Israel. And he stood between the dead and the living with the coal. You want to know why you're not dead? Because Christ intercedes for you. He, the only thing standing between you and eternal damnation, is Jesus Christ, your high priest. And He does this every day. Why do you think the wounds aren't healed in His body? He presents them every day. Father, look. I died for Him. But there's sin. But Father, look, my side. I paid the price daily. His wounds plead. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you know what? You won't ever be consumed. You won't ever be consumed. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our faithful high priest, the Scripture says this, by His one offering, He hath obtained for us eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. And Isaiah tells us this, that He satisfied the justice of God by the offering of His soul. Therefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know what? I gladly bow. Why? He is the high priest, ordained of God to offer the sacrifice of Himself, and God was forever pleased with His sacrifice. And even today He intercedes for me. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I don't have time, but we'll get into that, Lord willing, next, the last part of that, after the order of Melchizedek. It shows this man is a picture of Christ, of His priesthood, and how it extends without beginning and without end. That's my priest. And His sacrifice is the only thing that stands between me and eternal damnation. And you believers should not worry. God says, say you to the righteous, it is well with Him. Why? You have a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And His sacrifice is eternally accepted. Therefore, you are accepted. I pray God bless this to you.